You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSC has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And as always on a Thursday, it's the double-header Dream Team edition of the 5 o'clock shadow. And tonight it's populated by David Shapiro from Sasson Securities and Gary Boyson from Rand Swiss. Excuse my voice at the moment, Gary, but I want to start with you because, you know, normally what I do is I scribble down a few notes before I start these chats. I don't think there's a notebook big enough for me to put down all the items of news that have come out today, whether it be individual stocks, whether it be international currency shenanigans going on with the euro dollar now suddenly 105.20-105, and also politics. Now, Gary, let's talk about the dollar first. I'll come to politics with David in a moment because he's inextricably linked to politics because of his past and his family's past. But tell me about the dollar. Why is the dollar so weak against the euro?
Yeah, well, against the euro. So the two big currency moves that we've been watching is, of course, the dollar falling out of bed. You've seen the dollar index trading below 105. And that, as you said, that's against six large trading partners.
Yes.
I think this is really just on the back of Jerome Powell's comments last night around the idea that we're going to have higher rates for longer, but kind of solidifying in the market's mind that we're only going to get 50 basis points increase on the 14th of December. Now, we've obviously got non-farm payrolls tomorrow. We've got CPI numbers coming out on the 13th, just before that announcement, mid-December. But that's, you know, if those two numbers aren't dramatically bad, and when I say bad, almost too good, yeah. You know, if inflation is going up and the labor market is too strong, then maybe we'll see some sort of pullback in this market. But if they just come in line, I think you're going to have a stronger market over December. So if you look at the probabilities of a rate hike on Tuesday, the market is pricing about a 70% chance that we'd get 50 basis points. This morning we're up to 80, just about 80%. So, you know, it's clear that the speech last night just increased the in the market's mind that we're going to see a slowdown in these hikes, and that's negative for the dollar. Obviously, you're not going to get as much yield as maybe the market was originally thinking, and very positive for equities, which is why we saw that rip-roaring rally on the overseas markets last night, and kind of a weird rally in South Africa today, because while the dollar's been weakening, there's only one currency that's weakening faster than the dollar, and that's the South African rand.
Yeah,
so
well,
our rand hedge is going berserk. But like our financial index getting smashed over 6%.
It's all over the place. Yeah, I'm looking at the screen now, looking at my Stock Exchange News Service feed here, and I've got things that I don't even understand. I mean, a company called Salangano down 23.5%. I've got Murray and Roberts down 8%. Sassel down 5%. Nampak, we'll come to that in a minute, for a capital raising exercise, 33.3% weaker. But also all sorts of things going on there individually, stocks-wise and also currency-wise. But David, please tell me about the politics, because I woke up this morning and I read the Daily Maverick and the Business Maverick and everything, and I watched the BBC, and they said that Cyril Ramaphosa had 4 million stuffed under cushions in his lounge, his sofa. And I thought, No, wait a second. If this is true, if the BBC maybe is sensationalising the story, I don't know. Is it true? And if it is true, why has he got 4 million stuffed under cushions, and the cattle story and the Farmgate so-called story? You know better than I do. Please tell me.
Well, we don't know the answer. That's exactly what. Why did he have this stuffed under cushions? And the war, there are a lot of concerns that came out with the report, you know, conducted by very prominent judges or ex-judges. And the conclusion is that, you know, that these could be criminal charges. You know, for example, how did this money come? You know, through some so-called Somalian businessman who suddenly dumped the money. You know, these are, how did the dollars get into the country? The other thing is that they were supposedly for buffalo that the Somalian bought, but the buffalo are still present. They haven't been sold or moved. So there are a lot of unanswered. People are perplexed by what happened, and the danger. You know, the danger is that no one can answer these questions, or certainly Cyril can't, Ramaphosa can't. So it does raise questions. The big thing, the big worry is that against that, you know, from his point of view, it's indefensible. I don't think he can defend examination in front of a court, or you know, in front of any prosecutor or any questioner. He can't give explanations, or alternatively, he's not willing to give explanations. You know, the other thing is that, yes, Lindsay, when you accept a role like president, you have to give up all your business interests. There can't be any conflict, and therefore, you know, it's quite clear that he was still involved in his farm, Pala Pala. So, you know, from a business point of view. So just, we can go on and on about what happened here. But the big worry, and this is why the markets have taken the turn, is that what happens now with Cyril? He was the favorite to take, you know, to take the leadership role again. The meeting is later this month, I think in about 2 weeks, where he was supposed to just roll in to the presidential, you know, as leader of the ANC again.
Yeah, there's a big meeting, isn't there? I'm not a political person. In fact, I'm apolitical. But the NEC meets in, what, 2 weeks' time, something like that, and they'll make various pronouncements, and various appointments will be made. Is this, again, I'll ask both of you, and Gary, you can come on to this once David has finished. It is politically motivated. Obviously, it is political, but it also is politically motivated, the fact that it's only a couple of weeks away from a very, very important meeting. And do you think there are wheels within wheels that are doing this in order to oust Cyril Ramaphosa, because there's certain factions don't like him?
Well, when Arthur Fraser brought this to the attention of the public, obviously he had motives to do so, which was, you know, to remove Cyril. But again, you know, why was this never reported? So why, you know, even though he had access to the information and he then released it, why wasn't it reported at the time? You know, at when in late 2020, when this money was so-called stolen. So, I mean, there are a lot of issues that make this a criminal mystery. You know what I mean? Again, you can ask. But the big problem is that what happens to Ramaphosa now, and then what happens to South Africa? Because the one thing about Ramaphosa, as much as we've been criticizing, he still remains a popular figure. And I think the devil is far better than who might come next. We don't know what the consequences of this will be. So I think that's why the markets have responded like they have.
Gary, I have to come to you now. David's more politically leaning than you are, as I said. Well, I think so. Maybe quietly, you're a political analyst as well. But what do you make of this? And I'll give you the market angle on this one, Gary. 10.92% on the South African 10-year bond, 63.5 basis points higher for the yield. In other words, people dumping South African bonds. 6.2% move on this thing. This is an extraordinary move. I've never seen this before. I mean, obviously, in the past, we've had all sorts of political ruptions in South Africa. But 6.2% up for the yield in South Africa, that's astonishing.
No, it's absolutely crazy. I mean, we were looking at the currency move. So, yeah, you know, definitely not kind of not a political analyst trying to stay away from the, you know, the public conversation around politics. But I think David's right. Ramaphosa is a very, very popular figure, but he's also popular specifically with markets. And I think the fear today is if Ramaphosa was to be replaced, who is going to replace him? Uh-huh. And you just can't think of a market-friendly candidate to replace him. And that's where I think the almost panic is coming in. I do get the sense that it's a little bit squeezy though as well. So looking at the currency blowout today, I mean, it kind of started last night. You would expect with the kind of positive message out of the Fed, the risk on trade that we saw across the globe, you'd expect that to have pulled around well below 17, but we had already gone the other way last night. We were at 17.20, and then it just steadily started weakening. As soon as we got up to that sort of 17.60 level, that's when the wheels just fell off, and suddenly you got that squeezy feeling where it was just 5 cents, 5 cents, another 5 cents, all the way up to 17.90, 17.96, I think it eventually got to. And that it was kind of, you know, I mean, Lindsay, you've sat on a trading desk before. That's when people started screaming on us. We've got to go the other way. We've got to buy Rand here, because you kind of felt like this was, it's just too much too quickly. And I mean, we've now had this big retracement, but I mean, the volatility is off the charts. I mean, Rand moving from 17.20 this morning to 17.90, back to 17.62 for a currency. Those are enormous moves.
Yes, this is almost like a Gary, a Nenegate story, isn't it? On the day that happened, I think the Rand went very close to 19 in Far Eastern trading, in very thin trading. But looking at the bonds, and again, looking at the Rand, not quite as dramatic, but looking at the bonds, this is the one that really disturbs me. The bond, the SA 10-year bond yield is nearly 11%. It was threatening to break down through 10% just a week ago or something, because everything was tickety-boo over here. This is very disturbing. The foreigners must be looking at us and saying, what's going on here? There's a president that might be impeached, and who's in charge if he does get impeached and get removed? I find it very worrying.
You know, Lindsay, the one thing about South Africa is criminals and criminals. You know, and if the ANC decide that that this is not a criminal matter, you know, they'll keep Ramaphosa on. And I think they're probably trying to influence him to stay on. And as we saw with Mr. Zuma, you know, this can go on forever and ever. Mr. Zuma is still walking around free, despite years and years of transgressions and accusations and that. So I think you have to understand within politics, you know, if you steal a loaf of bread, boy, you're in jail, handcuffed and everything. But if you do, say you're a political leader like this, you can get away with it. So there's every chance that the ANC decide that you know, this is not worthy of pursuing, and they'll keep delaying it and counteract whatever this whatever this panel came out with. That's South African politics. So they're probably trying to persuade Mr. Ramaphosa now, who's the kind of man who has got a tinge of guilt. But they'll say, then, look, you know, South Africa's not so bad. We've seen worse here. Just hang on for a bit. So that can happen.
Who started it, David? Who initiated it? This is the thing. Who initiated the whole process? Who suddenly said, I'm going to tell them about all these dollars stuffed under a sofa, which I think is a spurious, spurious story. But anyway, it's a lovely story for the press. Who started it? Why did they do it? What are their motivations?
Arthur Fraser. Of course, to get rid of Mr. Ramaphosa. You know, these are all hurt politicians. You've got different factions. I'm like Gary. I mean, I just watch it from the side. So I just read things and say, you can't believe that this is happening. But you still have a very strong pro-Zuma element. You know, people who are very nervous of investigation, are very nervous of criminal investigations, and therefore want to prevent Ramaphosa continue along the path that he has. So, you know, politics here, it's toxic at a level that you can't understand. I know that globally it's like that, but I think we take it to a different level here.
That's one of the things we take
all politicians
to a different
are toxic.
Level. Yeah. Okay, it's going to come out. The weekend press is going to be fascinating.
I wouldn't be surprised, and I really mean it, if nothing happens. And, because of exactly what's happened to Zuma and all the other gangsters that have ruled this land, you know, or have had senior positions for the last 30-odd years, you know, who's still roaming free. So that includes some of the candidates that's standing for the senior position. So nothing, you know, it's just Teflon. Everybody here just rolls off. So
in other words, it's a political monopoly, and because there's no opposition, either a really big opposition and a third opposition, a second opposition rather, if this is a political monopoly, and as you say, it's a Teflon situation. I mean, I sent a tweet out today, and I once went to the editor of a quite prominent and very liberal news organization, online news organization. I said, you know, do you want to host my podcast? He said, yes, I'd love to very much. And I sent him a podcast that I'd just recorded with somebody who compared the ANC with a criminal organization. And he came back to me with very fruity language, which I can't say now, and said no. And I've just sent him this whole story about Ramaphosa and everything, and see what he says about it, because he couldn't say one word against the ANC lest he get banned or something like that. South Africa is very different to the United States and Europe and other places, I think. He just told
We're
me
in
to
Africa.
He told me to F off. He said, no, I can't say that. Otherwise, I'll be closed down. I'll get death threats and things. So it's not good.
This is Africa, South America, put us all together, parts of Asia and all things, you know. The criminal charges against him are as serious or as meaningful as the ANC wants them to be, you know. In other words, it depends on how important he is and, whether or not they pursue it. Deep down, I don't think anything's going to come of it.
No, you're probably right. It's a nice story on December the 1st. But also nice stories on December the 1st. And Gary, I don't want to embroil you in this political thing
he'll be having lunch with Rishi and with King Charles maybe next couple of months' time again. You'll still see him there. He'll go to Ascot with. I was going to say with the Queen. Whatever.
Well, that's in July. It's quite a way
he'll
away.
He'll still be around, yeah.
You think so?
Yeah, don't worry.
Okay. As I said, Gary, you're not a political person and your company shouldn't be associated with anything that myself and David have said. And incidentally, when I said that the ANC was a criminal organisation, it was the interviewee, not me, that said that. And this was about a year and a half ago.
Well, you don't have to apologise for that.
Well,
really.
I do to certain sponsors, but anyway, Gary. More importantly, from your point of view, look at the corporate South Africa today. I mean, I've written down Sasol, Nampak down 33.3%, MTM doing this, etc. Please characterise, Gary, the JSE day when it comes to individual companies and not small companies. Big companies, please tell us your highlights or lowlights, please.
That's a difficult one. I think, highlights and lowlights. It's difficult because I think the tide was just so strong from a macro point of view that it's pulled everything in the direction that needed to go. And as I said, we if you just look at the underlying indices, it really tells a lot of the story for you. You got the resource index up well over 3%. The overall JSE finished mildly positive, but the resource index, at least the financial index, almost 7% negative. So it had nothing to do with Standard Bank, Nedbank, and First Rand and Capitec individually. But I mean, down almost 7%, 8%, 9.29% for Capitec. I mean, SA Inc. just got slaughtered today. On the other hand, it was all alcohol and tobacco on the way up. So you've got the likes of AB InBev.
Yeah, those are all the international stocks.
Exactly.
And that's what's happening here. Yeah.
Unaffected by what's happening here. Yeah. Decent Rand hedges, the Rand blows out like this and they suddenly go berserk. But last thing before we get to the trading updates, I mean, you look at the day that investors in, and I know David was talking about it on Tuesday, how you need to be 100% offshore, and we were talking about the pros of the US stock economy. I mean, if you're a South African sitting watching your US stock portfolio today, you are loving life. One, the dollar is weaker, so stocks are up 3%, markets keep running there, and at the same time you've got the Rand weakening. I mean, Signia, if you look at a nice proxy for Rand investors investing in US stocks, go and look at the Signia US ETF. 8% up today for a broad-based track. 8%.
Well, I hope Magda's listening 8%. Because she'll love you for that, Gary. Well done.
So unbelievable. Actually, we were doing a webinar earlier today, and I was actually comparing Signia US, so that's the Signia S&P 500 tracker, versus the Vanguard S&P 500 tracker. You know, they're tracking 1% ahead of Vanguard for some reason. I need to go dig into that and find out why that is. So they're actually doing a better dollar-based performance than Vanguard is. So, yeah. Go Signia. But looking at the corporate updates, I mean, as you say, lots of news to unpack. You got a trading statement out of Sasol that didn't read well at all.
No.
Have still increased to, expected to increase by more than 20%. They benefited from higher oil prices, the weaker rand also helping them. But there's an FX translation impact there, which doesn't look very good. Like you said, Nampak, I mean, we got a full year update from them, also not pretty. Getting lost in the noise with all the macro stuff, but expecting headline earnings to decrease between 33 and 37 cents per share. So that's between 41 and 47% down. So also looking bad and looking to raise at least 1.35 billion rand. So a lot going on. We also had a pre-close update from Exxaro. So lots of corporate news as well to try and wade through among these very, very strong macro tides.
You really can't do it. I mean, looking, I've got a small snapshot of my stock exchange news service screen. It says 14:34 today. Remgro dealing in securities by a director. That's got nothing to do with it, but down 4.4%. Then you go down and you go to Sanlam. It says Sanlam Investment Holdings transaction with Absa Financial Services. Share price down 5.3%. Nothing to do with the deal, I don't think, just because of what's going on elsewhere. And then it goes on and on and on. What's the other ones that really took my eye? What did First Strand do today, Gary? You've got that one. That was also whacked, wasn't it?
9.21%
there you
down.
Go. And House of Bush up 6.75%. I mean, I don't drink that much beer. I mean, I drink beer because of the World Cup, but not that much beer.
A translation, Lindsay. You know, that's a pure translation of the rand. So you can't ignore that. You know, you can't. If I just bear with me for one sec.
I will do.
Looking here, if I look on, okay, AB InBev in London is up 1.5%. Okay, so
it's a rand
that gives
thing.
You an idea. A British totally rand. British American Tobacco, looking at a live price now, is flat. BHP is down 0.48%. These are all Anglo American down 3.18%. So if you look at those, by and large, even process, I'm looking at process in Amsterdam down 1.8% as we talk now.
Yeah.
Quilter down 2.8. So all of those is nothing more than a translation. Glencore down 1.1%. So when you take the rand at these levels and translate them, that's where we're getting the kind of gains.
And it's not even just a rand translation. It's that euro and sterling translation, which is acting in the opposite direction as well.
Exactly.
Do you sense, gentlemen, that something is happening? In South Africa, obviously something is happening that we could never have predicted. Something's going on politically, and suddenly people are saying, wait a second, there's lots of other emerging markets, lots of other commodity producers that we need to be invested in, but suddenly South Africa, I don't know, let's have a look. That's the first point I'm going to make. So, David, you go ahead. Yeah. Do you think that there has been a shift suddenly in 24 hours?
You know, there was a shift positively towards South Africa. And people like Leila Faree, who's president of the JSC or head of the JSC CEO, was making these points, you know, with China under pressure, people moving away. It meant that more people were starting to look at other emerging markets. But I think it's a situation like this that can really turn people off. And the one positive about our market is as Gary was saying, is that the red hedge qualities come through and just support you. And when you asked me whether I was, where I was on Tuesday, and I said 100% offshore, and every one of my local portfolios is stacked with those Signia, with the different S&P 500 trackers or the NASDAQ trackers. So I've always covered myself. I've had very little exposure to SA Inc., rather on opportunities, as you said, more so than anything else, just better opportunities there. But these kind of moves scare you.
They scare the pants off me.
And then, you know what? They make fools of... Sadly, you know, very good analysts, people who've been plugging away, looking at the fundamentals of the retailers or the fundamental of the banks, all of a sudden they're taken out. And this is coming to the end of December. You know? So actually, Gary, the banks have done well. I mean, so even with a 9% Knox and everything, they're still up for the year. They're still doing pretty well.
But just today.
It's just today. David, you say that the banks are doing well, but so you think this is just a moment in time, a 9% fall for First Rand, for goodness sake, 9% down. Yeah. You think that Ramaphosa will be sipping tea with the King of England, King Charles III, and hobnobbing with other people in the future? You think this is just a one-day or two-day thing? Is that what you're saying to me?
It's because we're so corrupt, and it goes through every level of officialdom here. And you just have to hear the frustration that Andre de Rater is going through at Eskom. You know, every power station, there's somebody sabotaging power simply for political motives and that. So, I mean, this underpins the South African economy at the moment. And I think the ANC is just going to take a step back and say, you know, sort of, yeah, that's not so bad, you know, compared to all the other crime.
We've had worse, in other words.
Yeah, we've had worse. You know, we take Mr. Zuma, we take the Guptas. Nah, he's lightweight, you know, this is a lightweight charge. Yeah,
please, he must do better. No, it's a really, really sad thing. David, I disagree with you entirely. I think this is very, very sinister. And I think that it is worse than the Zuma thing, because Zuma wasn't ever taken seriously by the markets. I think Ramaphosa has been taken seriously by the markets. And I do believe that international investors will be sitting down over the weekend and saying, okay, this is not good. Zuma, we understood.
I agree with you there. I think that's a very valid point. Very valid point. You know, in your favor, you know, in saying, people respected him. Didn't expect it of him.
That's the first time you've ever agreed with me on football or politics or markets.
I still think you'll be let off, though. You know, I agree with you, but he'll still be let off.
On the markets today, the dollar rand.
He's get a yellow card. He'll get a yellow card, yeah.
Yeah, but it'll be reviewed by VAR and he'll get a red. Don't you worry about that.
Gary's got the Gary's VAR.
Gary doesn't understand football. He doesn't like football. But anyway, the VAR. I'm just trying to think of the acronym that VAR. Victors against Ramaphosa, something like that.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Okay. Dollar rand is 17.71, gentlemen. The British pound against the rand is 21.72. Let's call it 21.71. The euro rand is 18.58. And the euro dollar, 104.91, was 105.50, 105.70 earlier on today. And the British pound, look at that, 122.60. It's 20 basis points higher than it was 3 months ago. The dollar is really under huge pressure. The gold price is $45 higher, and it's close to $1,800 per ounce. It's up 2.6%. And incidentally, in rand terms, it's up 7.1% today. So the gold miners must be having a lovely day. The platinum is up $62, or 6.3%, to $1,055. Palladium is $1,885, up 1.2%. Relatively muted performance. And if we have a look at the other commodity prices, which also are doing very well indeed, Brent crude oil up 2% to $88.66. West Texas crude, $82.90, up nearly 3%. And what else have we got here? The other ones haven't really had a chance to react because most of them are traded in the Far East. But anyway, iron ore is up above 100 again, $103 per ton, which is a really, really good move. The capital markets are as follows. The US 10-year Treasury bond yield is 3.61%, which is around about 9 basis points up. Weaker than it was yesterday. The South African 10-year, that's the big one. I spoke about that earlier on, and it's gone a couple of basis points higher. 10.94% for the South African 10-year bond yield. It's around about 85 basis points higher than it was a week ago, which is a really, really big move. Bitcoin, for some reason, people are buying it, but it's fallen back below 17,000. It's 16,916. S&P 500 futures, also not having a great day. Down 0.4%, 4,064. But 4,064 is an awful lot higher than it was about 4 or 5 months ago, when I think it went to something like 3,200, something. I can't remember. Anyway, Gary, can you give us the JSE indices, please?
So we've got the All Share Index up, call it a quarter of 1%. Year to date, that's actually only up in rand terms 1.5%. We were talking about the Fini earlier. Fini down 6.85%, but still the best performing sub-index year to date, up 10.79%.
Very good.
So beating the Indy, which is down 5%, 5.2% for the year, but up 1.86% today. And the Resi, which had the strongest move on the day, up 3.48%, which actually just ticked it positive for the year. So it is 3.47% positive. So it was negative yesterday and now exactly this amount positive.
Very nice. I've got on my individual movers, the ones that make a difference. DRD Gold down, up nearly 10%. South 32 up 9.6%. Anglo Gold Ashanti 7.5% higher. On the downside, Absa 9.2% mm-hmm. down. Capitec 9.3% down. First Rand, a loser to the tune of 9.2%. Nedcor down 8.75%. And on the property side of things, Fortress A down 7.2%. David, any of the stocks that I haven't mentioned outside of those have caught your eye today? Because everything's down.
I think we've spoken about Nampac, which is a really tragic situation. Here was a company that used to dominate the South African industrial scene. Yeah. I think even long before Gary came onto the market, it was a huge business, together with PPC down 10% as well. So a lot of businesses that have been holding up are down. Yesterday, I saw Murray and Roberts up 10%. This morning, they announced that they were out of the Bombela concession, which I said, okay, that's interesting. But I see that they've corrected and they're down another 8.5% today. So quite heavy, heavy losses in small and medium companies as well today. So it's not only at the top that we've seen, the sell-off, not only in banks as well. I think it filtered through to the entire market.
Well, hopefully this is just a moment in time, and it's just a concatenation, as they say, of circumstances. It's the dollar situation. Yeah. It is local politics, and it's just December the 1st. I mean, people goosed up the market because of month end yesterday, November the 30th, and maybe it's just a moment in time. As I said, Gary, what do you think? You must be quite surprised by what's going on here.
I don't even know if I can say I'm surprised.
Did you hear the sigh there, David?
At this market. I think so what's the question? Where are we going from here?
Do you think that this was just yesterday was we had a couple of days before the month end where things went really, really swimmingly, and today people have come back and said December the 1st, and then, as I said, that word again, concatenation of circumstances, internationally and locally, coming together and showing the true colours of this South African economy and the South African JSE, local stocks.
For sure.
I think
if you look at it as well, if you look at specifically at international markets, and I mean, it's something that, if you talk to technical analysts, we all look at the same charts, and that's why, our behavior becomes almost self-fulfilling behavior. And I think we're at an absolutely key level on the S&P 500 at the moment. If you draw a line straight down, just connecting those highs, we're at the declined resistance line. And last night it broke through. And I think that break, everyone just lost their minds today. They didn't know what they were doing. It's either we've got to buy this market. I mean, broke the 200-day moving average and the declining trend line. Absolutely key level. If that keeps going up today, I think all the FOMO money sitting on the sidelines is going to pile into this market for December. Then on top of that, we have non-farm payrolls tomorrow. We're expecting 200,000 jobs added. We're expecting an unemployment rate of 3.7%. If that comes in, as I said, if that comes in very, very strong tomorrow, what can we have a 75 basis point? Markets are going to take that very, very badly. So, there's a lot of moving parts overseas at the moment, and we're at key levels. And I think a lot of people are wondering if we're going to get the Santa rally. And I think there's a lot of cash that is sitting, thinking, is this the turning point of the market, or do I need to be fully invested? Because I can tell you, we're still at levels on the S&P 500 we were at a year ago. And if this market hooks up 10-15% and you haven't got your clients invested properly, you're going to have very difficult explaining to do. And I think there's a lot of fear of missing out currently.
But I must tell you one thing that's funny, because I was so happy with the way that the market is, particularly as it broke through the 200-day average. And we started off well, as we were talking about earlier. Suddenly I see the market down and say, why is it coming down? And I say, factory orders are down. I say, but that's what we want. We want bad news. The market's been crying for bad news that will hold. And all of a sudden we get the bad news and now the market's responding. I say, hold on, something's wrong, because the inflation data that came out today was lower than expected. All the data that the Fed. So I'm saying this is a very confused market. This is very, you know,
tired. It's fatigue.
I thought the PMI down. I thought, oh, yay. In the meantime, it wasn't a yay.
David, I've always said to you over the years that if the market wants to go down, it'll find a reason to go down and vice versa.
Yep.
So good news is bad news. Bad news is good news, et cetera.
Yeah.
I'm slightly worried. I'm not so much worried. I think the overseas markets have gone a little bit too far. 4,061 for the S&P, which is up 0.5%. And down 0.5%. But, you know, the recent rally is slightly disturbing. And, gentlemen, I think that, you know, I know you're looking forward to going away and turning off your screen in the next 2 weeks or so, December the 12th, 13th, 14th, whatever it is. But I do think you'll be watching that screen very, very closely because something's going on here.
David, I'm going away. This is my last appearance until January the 1st. I will be in Australia on Monday.
Why can't I speak to you from Australia?
Because it's 9 hours ahead. So when you talk about conspiracy theories, I was just reflecting yesterday. I said, oh, you know, this is the first time I'm going away where the Rand hasn't done something dramatic. You know, in other words, I would just say, oh, thank goodness, you know, it's below 17. You know, the coffee in Sydney is going to cost me that much less, you know. But I don't know. It just happens every time. So I'm used to this. You know, 17, 16. I haven't seen against the Australian dollar. 12. So a cup of coffee, 60, 70 rand plus,
Stop drinking coffee. That's the lesson there. David, happy Christmas. I won't say Christmas to you, of course, but I'll say Happy New Year to you.
Happy holidays.
Happy year end, whatever it is. I have to be politically correct. Have a lovely time in Australia. If you do feel have the compunction to speak to me because something extraordinary is going on, you know my number. Have a lovely time. Yeah,
the good news, though, is that my family in Australia are celebrating Australia's
win,
and now they're in the knockout, and the American family as well, also. So both families celebrating.
Yeah, so, and tonight it's Spain and Germany having their games as well. If it weren't for football, Gary, sorry, you probably switched off here, but David and I love football. Spain and Germany playing tonight, absolutely fantastic prospect to see who goes through. Anyway, that was the 5 o'clock shadow. David Shapiro is from Sasfin Securities and Gary Boyson is from Rand Swiss, both in Johannesburg. David, as I said, have a lovely couple of weeks off. We'll speak in the new year. And Gary, maybe we'll speak in the next couple of weeks. As I said, that's the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.